Our passage this morning was taken from Ephesians chapter 2, and we begin at the beginning of the chapter. It's called Made Alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm all right, thank you. Incredibly well read for us. Thank you very much indeed. I'll be honest to say, that is one of my most favourite passages in the Word of God. I was dead. I used to live in a different way. God's great mercy and rich grace for me rescued me, put his spirit in me. And not of anything I did, all because of what was won on the cross. And from that, he has equipped me to do great works. That is the gospel wrapped up. I could sit down now. That is a fantastic passage. It's great to be with you this morning. For those of you that are visiting, perhaps those of you that haven't seen me before, my name is Andy Dickens. I lead a charity here in Reading. I should have a slide. If you've got a few slides, they might come up, that's fine. Called Faith Christian Group. Some of you will know me. I come and count myself a friend of Southcote Family Church. I love being with you whenever I can come. If you remember, those of you who have heard me before, I was baptised here in this port probably about 33 years ago when I first came to Reading as a youth worker, and I actually did youth work from this building for a few years as well. So it's got fond memories for me. I love being here. I count being part of your extended family, and it's great to be with you. So just for those of you that don't know, the charity Faith Christian Group will appear in a few minutes. We do four main areas. We run the food bank. We feed anyone hungry, homeless in town each week. We run the pantry scheme, which we'll tell you a bit about that in a minute. And we also run night shelters. The sad news and the good news, there's always good news and there's always sad news, isn't it? The great news, I guess, is for those of us that live in Reading, recently, apparently, Reading was picked as the 10th best place to live in the whole of the UK. That's not bad, is it? We're in the top 10. I'm quite excited about that. As a West Ham supporter, we don't often get up top 10. So this is top 10. This is great. The not so good news, in the next chart, we finished third. Which I suppose, well, third, that's really good, isn't it? But third being the most unequal town or city in the whole of the UK. The extremities between rich and poor, and we're number third as the third worst. Do you know, in Reading, A third of every child that lives across the whole of Greater Reading, which equates to about 9 children in every school class of about 30, will be undernourished, no food, no clothes, and go to school living in a house that will be deemed in deep poverty, unable to supply bare essentials of heating, of clothes, of food. But by the grace of God, God has equipped us, God has called us to make a difference, to demonstrate his love, to go against society. And that's the world that I live in. As I said, we supported about 9,000 homes last year with emergency food parcels. We gave out 8,500 meals across the year to people that would be homeless and hungry in town. And we've got about 600 members that access our 8 pantries across the town. And January, February, March, we took in about 80 people that would have been sleeping rough in our streets had we not been open, with a hot meal, a bed, breakfast, and to help them with next steps as they try and journey out and find stability in their lives. So it's great, don't worry about the screen, we'll just go with the flow. We'll go with the flow. That's what we do. Nice logos for you. Ready Street, which is our street team. Ready Food, our food bank. Ready Pantries, which we'll talk about Southcote Pantry a bit. Bed for Night is the night shelters. And Faith Christian Group, if you want to look on the website, to look at other stuff that we do. But as I said, it's really great to be with you. It's Pentecost Sunday, as Judy reminded. It's the day the church was birthed. The Holy Spirit fell and transformed lives. And the Holy Spirit today is still transforming lives. And that's what he's in the business of. God the Father is in heaven. Jesus came down, lived on earth, died, rose, ascended back, and is seated at the right hand of God. And he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. He is the power and presence of God in us, through us, equipping us, strengthening us, helping us, connecting us, making us understand his word. He does so much for us, with us, and through us. I am dependent each day on the Spirit of God to fill me, to overwhelm me, to encourage me, to refresh me, to empower me, so that I can go. I, like those earlier disciples, could have been described as an ordinary, uneducated person. But the Spirit of God came, as we read in that passage in Acts, and their lives were transformed. The quivering of Peter, who was scared by that fire, lying, deceiving, pretending he didn't know Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, a new boldness came upon him, a new passion came upon him, a new commission to go and cross the world, to see disciples, to see souls saved. And on that day, hundreds of people were added in to the church. And that hasn't ended then. That is still going on today in 2025. God wants us to be filled with that same spirit that we read happened at Pentecost. God wants us to have fulfilled lives, living out that calling, fulfilling that preparation that he's got for us in advance. God is calling us today. God is calling us today. So I'm going to pray, going to unpack that verse in a little bit, tell you a few stories, hopefully encourage you, and at the end, Colin's going to share something, I'm going to share something, and hopefully we're going to feel empowered to go and to respond, because God is calling you. God wants to fill you with his Spirit so that you can go and make a difference. Make a difference in our communities. Make a difference in the roads that we live in. Make a difference wherever we shop. Make a difference wherever he's sending us. Not necessarily to the other side of the world. He's calling us to make a difference in Southcote, in Coley, in Tylehurst, in Norcott, in Dee Park, wherever we live. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are alive. We thank you that you are the power and presence of God. And on this Pentecost Sunday, Holy Spirit, would you fill us afresh? Would you work through us? Would you speak to us? Would you encourage us? Would you motivate us? Would you recommission us as you call us to go to fulfill these great works that you prepared for us in advance? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the passage that was so eloquently read to us starts by saying, as for us, we were dead in our sins. We used to be dead in our sins before Christ's love and power and the Holy Spirit came into us. I don't know about how your life was pre-Christ, BC, before you knew him. Mine was completely different to how I live my life now. My vocabulary, my trajectory, my ambitions, what I wanted to do, it was around selfish, it was around raising money, it was around pleasure, it was around all me. All me. That was how I used to live. Your life might have been different, but we can look back and see how we used to be and how we are now. That is the journey of salvation. That is the journey of the Spirit's work in our life. I can look back, even in the 30 years I've lived here in Reading, from when I got baptised, and I can see how even that process, how I used to be and how I am now so different in my thoughts, my ambitions, my desires, how I spend my money, how I spend my time, who I speak to, what I do is just so different because the Spirit of God has captivated me, has caught me, and has changed me. We gratified, I love the word, a real descriptive word, isn't it? We gratified the cravings of our sinful nature. Everything in me was selfish. Everything in me was me. Everything in me was, forget anyone else, as long as I'm okay, that's okay. I gratified those cravings of having a bigger house, having a better car, wearing nicer clothes, going on nicer holidays, doing all that stuff. We were the objects of God's wrath. But in his great love for us, before we even knew him, despite of the world that I was living in, despite of the world that you possibly were living in, that selfishness, me-centered life, in that being, in God's great love, his mercy, his undeserved kindness for us, we are made alive when Christ empowers us, meets with us, and changes our lives. I can look back and think, I was dead, as that word says, and now I am so alive in Christ. I am so fulfilled in Christ. I am so hopefully purposeful and fruitful for Christ because he has made me alive. Once I was like this, and now we are all like this. Once those without Christ, without followers of Christ, without being Christians, in hopeless situations, going round and round and round, not knowing which way to turn. Now we can know the peace of God. Now we can know the confidence of God. Now we can know the security of God. And yes, situations don't change necessarily. We still have pain. We still have anxieties. We still have problems to work through. But we were like this sorting out ourselves, but now we're like this. We've got God with us. God with us, the creator of the heavens and earth. The almighty God is with us. Is with us. We don't need to fear and be in fearful, shameful existence. But whatever we're living through, we can be more than conquerors, more than victorious, because Christ has made us alive. We have come alive in Christ. We have received his grace. We are not saved by what we do. As we were reminded, he has paid the price on the cross. That is a turning road. That is the crossroads for all Christians. So we can't boast in all the things that we do. No, because it's a free gift of Christ. And if you're here this morning, perhaps as someone who doesn't know Jesus as their Saviour, there is an opportunity, a free gift, doesn't cost you anything. You don't need to do anything. You just got to receive it. And I promise you, you will transfer from darkness into lightness, and you will become alive in life. You will blossom in life. Someone spoke to me recently and they said, I've suddenly seen trees differently, and flowers differently, and creation differently. And I said, that's why you've transferred over, and you've been made alive. And as we go on our lovely walks and do all our lovely things in the countryside, we are being made alive, and we acknowledge God's creativity, God's wonder, God's amazement in every part of life. So wouldn't you want to be made alive in Christ? And as we're made alive, we are God's workmanship. He is moulding us. He is changing us. He is outworking his spirit in us. And we are created to do great works. God has prepared great things for us in advance that we can get involved. So we're not the idle. We're not going to be just sitting around, but God has prepared great things for us as we enjoy this new life of living here for him, which is great. And God is calling us. God is calling us as individuals. God is calling us as families. God is calling us as a community of believers across the whole town to make a difference. And God is calling you, wherever you live, to make a difference. He has prepared great things for you. And I really believe this is exciting times in Southgate. We talk about Southgate for a minute. I think God has got great plans for this community. Great plans to prosper Southgate. Great plans where you can grow in your influence. Be you have your tent enlarged and see God's kingdom come through you, through us, through individuals, nobodies, but with the spirit inside them, made alive, fulfilling that calling that he called us to do. God is building his church. The Bible says, nothing will stop it. Nothing will stop it. I don't know if you read a couple of months ago in April, there was a statistical analysis by the Bible Society and YouGov, and it was published. And it was really interesting reading. It was probably a bit under the radar, because often the numbers of churches are seen as they're deteriorating and everyone's leaving the church, that sort of thing. But what was quite interesting is over the last 6 years nationally, church attendance has risen by 50%. 50% growth in church over the last 6 years. In 2018, this is by YouGov, so it must be proper, mustn't it, I guess? In 2018, they reported that just 4% of 18 to 24-year-olds actually attended a church. 4% of young adults attended church. Only in 2018, so not very long ago. Today, on April 2024, when the project came out, 2025 when the thing came out, it went from 4% and it's now gone to 16%. 16% of 18 to 24-year-olds would now say they're connected and join part of a local expression of church. That's amazing, isn't it? Young men, often seen as people necessarily not in the church, more and more, it went from 4%, this is just males now, 4% to 21% of 18 to 24-year-olds would now say they're committed to a local church. I'm afraid women, it's not so good. 3% it was in 2018, and it went to 12% of young ladies were in church. But in fact, that works out. There are now 2 million people more attending church today, this Sunday, than there were only 6 years ago. In 6 years, the church has grown by 2 million people. That's amazing, isn't it? God is on the move. And God is making people like you and me come alive with the gospel, come alive in his presence and with the power of the Holy Spirit to make a difference from him. They commented in this report. It said, with much of the population since COVID struggling with mental health, with loneliness, with a loss of a meaning of life, where to go, the church appears to be answering this question. Appears to be answering this question. The church is reaching out to those with mental health issues, loneliness, and a loss of meaning of life, and giving them life, giving them purpose, giving them stability. Bill Hybels, an American pastor, said, "The church is the hope of the world. The church is the hope of the world." And the good news is, it's increasing, growing. And that's you and me. We are the hope of the world. Don't just necessarily look at me, but look at Christ in me. Look how he changed me. Look how he changed you. And God is changing us because he wants to see his world saved. He wants to see this world come to know him. "But none shall perish," the Bible says, that every person can have the opportunity to hear, receive that faith and live in the good of knowing who God is. So God speaking today. The church is growing. God is calling us. Are we listening? Is the next question, I guess, isn't it? So there's my statistics. We can go on if you want to. Are we listening? I don't know about you. There's distractions all the way around us in our lives, aren't there? We've got our mobile phones that are bleeping all the time. We've got people wanting our time. People wanting our energy. We've got great things that can become issues as well. Like, I've got a new granddaughter. She's fantastic as well. We're going to really enjoy being grandparents, as we all are, as lots of us are, I guess. But we've got to watch out that these things don't distract us from anything that God might be calling us to do. These are all great things. Don't get me wrong, family's great, grandchildren are great, all those things are great. But don't let them become a distraction to make us lose what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Let's not harden our hearts as God wants to speak to us. Even today, as I'm speaking in this building, I encourage you to listen. Listen attentively, because the Spirit of God is here and the Spirit of God wants to speak to us. So don't dismiss it. Let's not say, "Oh, that must be for that person there." Let's not say, "Oh, I'm too old." Let's not say, "Oh, I've done this. You don't know my life. I'm too busy," or this, that and the other. No. God is calling us all. Someone gave a little Bible study on that a few weeks ago. I was listening, and they said these things of characters in the Bible. Paul was a murderer. Peter was a liar. Thomas was a doubter. Moses didn't want to speak. Jacob was a deceiver. Joseph was a boaster. Martha was too busy. Zacchaeus was short, so I don't know what size you are. And Lazarus was even dead. But God used all of those people to bring his kingdom. God is calling you. Let's not disqualify ourselves. Let's not say, because of my circumstances I'm in, I cannot possibly do it. So let's not harden our hearts. Let's let the Spirit of God on this day of Pentecost work in us afresh. Let's go back and think how I used to be. God, how I've changed. Let's give him all the honour and the glory for that. He's at work in your life. And he's not yet finished. We aren't yet the finished article. God is continuing to change us. Why? Because he wants to win people out there. We're here in existence for those people out there. Someone said once before, the church is the only organisation that exists for the benefit of its non-members. We exist together to glorify Christ, to be brothers and sisters together, but called for a work out there, a work to see people added in to his kingdom. Colin's going to come and share in a few minutes of a little dream that he had. But before he does, I just want to really thank you for your support and your partnership with Southcote Pantry. We've been here now a number of weeks, and I really feel, a couple of times I've been, it's a real great hub and energy as people come in. Last week we had 37 families, households represented, coming into your building to get food, to get support, to have a cup of coffee. Each one of those need to be loved, supported, befriended, and encouraged perhaps to come to your coffee mornings or to your things that you put on here as you help them on a journey of faith. Perhaps that's something that you consider, that God is calling you in. We've got 70 members, 70 households that are registered to be able to access your pantry here every week. And they tell me that when they work it out, it's 2.2 averages at a household. So that's over 150 people that are on your fringe, that are come, could come into your church building week on, week out. So there's 37, as I said, and when I came, I'm sure I counted about 50 people sitting around having coffee, having chatting, and it was a great environment. These are great things where you're opening the door, inviting people on. And I encourage you and thank you to say, yes, it's great what we're doing, but let's see where God wants to take it as we invite these people on a journey of faith, as we help these people so their lives will be transferred and they will be made alive in Christ. We had one lady who was a member here in Southgate, and she came up to us a few weeks ago and said, oh, it's been really great, the pantry, but actually I don't really think I need to come again, actually. I said, oh, what's that then? And she'd been in severe debt, and because she'd been able to buy her groceries at a reduced rate, is how we've run the pantry, she'd been able to pay off her debt. And if you've ever been in debt, debt really is, oh, it's one of the worst things. You just can't get free. Interest payments go up and you never get out of it. This lady, her life, her demeanour, her face was just free because she'd got out of that.
Amen.
Amen, exactly. We've got a couple of team members now, actually, both team members now, that were members to start off with, started accessing the pantry, and then through a process of befriending them and then joining, they've now trained and are part of the team, which is really great. And one of them lives above the other one in the flat box. And they have become best friends. They came a bit intrepid, wondering what it was like coming into a pantry, what these people are going to be like. Are they going to be normal? Are they just like us or what? And now they've got great friendship. They were lonely and now they've got friends. That is fantastic, isn't it? What a great story. I was up in Norcott 3 weeks ago and I met a guy, and he'd been diagnosed with terminal cancer on the Tuesday. And he hadn't seen anyone till he met me on the Friday, 3 days later, because he didn't know anyone. People in our communities often have no one. The church is the hope of the world. The church is the answer to mental health, to loneliness, to lack of meaning of life. The church, the gospel, is the power that's changing lives. Once we used to be, and now we are alive in Christ. Amen. Let's hear Colin's story, and then I'll tell you another one as well before we finish. Because it's half 11. Sorry, Judy.
All right, no,
many of you know it, but I had two dreams last year. The first one, I was walking along a very narrow, very well-lit road with loads of other people, all going the same way. But there was a ditch to the side. If you fell in a ditch, you were brought out, cleaned, and carried on. That was my first dream. I believe that to be a blessing. The second dream was not. I was driving. Now everyone knows I can't drive. I was driving down the road in the dark, alone. No one else, nothing else. Then there was a great pit in front of me. The car didn't come down with me. I went down. I was looking up. In both cases, I didn't see where I was going. But I know, and I feel I know, in both cases, which way I should go and which way I would have been going. Those are my dreams. It's very simple. In my opinion, very true, that is the way that you go the right way, in my opinion, light and dark, as you said.
Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.
Thank you, Colin. So God is speaking. God speaks through dreams, through visions, through his word, through conversation, through a whole host of different ways. I had a dream, I think, did I tell you, for when I started this job as well. I had a dream that I took over and ran this charity. Didn't do anything much with it. I thought, no, I just dreamt it. About 6 months later, I had the same dream again. And that was just started a journey and a sort of a domino effect that got me to do this position. So God speaks to us. Let's not harden our hearts. Let's be prepared for him to speak to us, because the Holy Spirit is with us. Pentecost, God with us. God's presence, God's power, God's changing our lives, God's making us alive, and God's equipping us for these great works that he's got for us, prepared in advance. I'm going to pray for you and then I'll hand back. If you feel open just to put your hands out in front as a demonstration that you are willing to be used by God in this community, in your community, wherever you are, in those great works that he's got prepared for you. That's just a demonstration of that. We're going to shut our eyes and do that. No one will see, and that will be just you, between you and God, demonstrating that I'm here, I'm listening. I'm accepting your commissioning again this morning, that you're calling us to make a difference through our church. So Holy Spirit, thank you that you're here. Thank you it's your power, your presence at work in our lives. Thank you it's you, it's that power that changed us, changed me, that once we were and now we're so different. Once we were full of sin and dead to everything. And because of Christ Jesus, because of your love, your grace, your mercy, we are now made alive in Christ. I thank you for that transformation that took place, that victory that you won on the cross. And I thank you that you didn't leave us there. You're continuing to change me. You're continuing to change us. Thank you that you're at work in Reading. You're at work across the world. You're at work building your church. Thank you that your church is the hope of the world. And Lord, I thank you for this community. Thank you for the pantry. Thank you for all the things that are going on, Lord. Thank you for every member that's part of this church. And as we, in some small way, put our hands out to demonstrate that we're listening, we're accepting your calling, your invitation, we're willing to be recommissioned by you to be sent to go, to make a difference, I pray that you'd empower us and strengthen us and give us courage. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.